First Kings, chapter 19. We read in verse 4. And he himself, that is Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." The depressed prophet. We look at Elijah in our series, God of the Second Chance. Where there are mountains, there must also be valleys. And Elijah had been on a mountain, Mount Carmel. But now, if not in a valley, certainly in a wilderness. For Elijah, Carmel had been a mountain of victory and vindication. Indeed, Carmel means a fruitful place. And as it proved to be for Elijah, it was a fruitful place. It was there that the forces of good and evil engaged in combat. It was there that Elijah, Jehovah's appointed prophet, challenged the children of Israel with the words, "How long hold ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. You have a choice. Who is it to be? Jehovah or Baal?" He then turned his attention to the prophets of Baal and challenged them to prove that their God was the God of Israel. You look there in chapter 18, verse 23. "Let them, therefore, give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord." Prophets of Baal had many gods. Elijah had one God, the Lord Jehovah. "And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the prophets answered and said, "It is well spoken." So they agreed with Elijah. They were confident that their gods would answer by fire. But we know they prayed. They cut themselves. They danced on the altar. But no answer came. The dumb, dead God of the false prophets did not answer, and no fire came forth from those gods. But when Elijah prayed, calling upon the name of Jehovah, we read, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." Verse 38, chapter 18. "And when the people saw what had taken place, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.'" Verse 39, chapter 18. After this, Elijah, at the command of the Lord, then took the prophets of Baal and slew them at the brook Kishon. What a victory that was. But Elijah was not finished yet. The fire had fallen. The false prophets had been slain. And we're told he went further up Mount Carmel. And there he fell upon his knees and prayed again, this time for rain. Because the land had not seen rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed, and through the prayers of Elijah, God answered, and there was heard the sound of abundance of rain. Another great victory. What would Elijah do next? What would he accomplish next there on that mountain top? Instead of going on to another victory, Elijah fell into the slough of despond. And Elijah wished he was dead. Here was a prophet who had experienced great victories. Here was a prophet that was plunged into the depths of despair and depression. It came after a great victory. And so often we sink down into despair after victories. Spiritual depression. Spiritual depression, something that great men suffered from. One of the great men we could mention tonight was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Man who was called the Prince of Preachers. And yet during his ministry, Spurgeon suffered from depression. And when the Savior entered Gethsemane, we are told that he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Mark 14, verse 33. Want you to mark this. He began to be very heavy. Those two words, very heavy, mean deeply depressed. Christ was deeply depressed. And this aptly describes Elijah. And he wished to end his life. But the Lord, who is rich in mercy, wanted to spare his life and wanted to keep him alive because he had more work for him to do. His God wanted to give his servant a second chance. A second chance at life and a second chance at service. That's what we want to look at tonight. The second chance that the Lord gave to a prophet who was deeply depressed. I want us first of all to consider Elijah the troubled prophet. The triumphant prophet very soon became the troubled prophet. And the trouble began when he received a message from Ahab's wife Jezebel, who was a Baal worshipper. And there in the opening two verses of 1 Kings 19, we're told then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. With this threat upon him and upon his life, we see, first of all, his desperation. In his desperation, we see what Elijah did. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Knowing what a great champion of Jehovah that Elijah was, it is hard to understand, and it is hard to take in the behavior of Elijah, what he had just seen accomplished on Mount Carmel, now he runs from Jezebel. It's hard to understand, first of all, his fleeing. You will notice that once he received Jezebel's message, we're told he arose and went for his life. The man who had just stood face to face with 450 prophets of Baal, is faced 450 prophets of Baal. He slew them at the brook Kishon, and he receives a message from one person. He received a message from a woman. And he ran for his life. One person has caused Elijah to flee. You have his fleeing, and you have his fear. When we read that he arose and went for his life, he evidently feared for his life. He feared the threat which came from Jezebel. Elijah, who was fearless for the Lord, had faced and rebuked her husband. He didn't flee from Ahab. If you look there in chapter 17 and verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So he faced Ahab. Look at chapter 18 and verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, that is, Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. And so here was Elijah, and he was fearless whenever he stood up against Ahab. When Ahab said he had was the one who troubled Israel, Ahab said no. Or Elijah said, no, you're the man, pointing the finger at him, standing face to face. And yet when he receives a message from Jezebel, he arose and went for his life. His fleeing, his fear, his forsaking. That is, forsaking the place of prayer, the place where he had called fire down from heaven, the place where he had known great victory, the place where he had on his knees opened the windows of heaven and called upon God, who opened the windows of heaven and poured out the rain. But instead of getting on his knees again, when he heard from Jezebel, instead of getting on his knees and seeking the face of God, he turned his back and he arose and went for his life. How do you explain that? Can't. But then anyone who suffers from depression, something you cannot explain. Yes, this is all a mystery and very hard to understand why someone like Elijah behaved in this way. Yet let us not be too hasty in any criticism we may raise against Elijah. Would you turn, please, to James. James chapter 5. James 5 and verse 16. James 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And James is evidently thinking about Elijah. Because in the next verse we read, Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly and it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. But I want you to look at verse 17. Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. I want you to look at a couple of words there. This is important. Elias, well, first of all, it says Elias was a man. Elias was a man. He was just a man. Children today, by the Hollywood crowd, tell children today about superheroes. These imaginary individuals are superheroes. Well, we look at God's servants, great men like Elijah. No, they weren't superheroes. Elijah was a man. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You take the word passions. The word passions there means feelings. So Elijah was a man subject to like feelings as we are. He suffered the same things, the same feelings that we have. Now I take the word subject. The word subject means to be under. To be under. Same word is found in Hebrews 2:15. That is, they who were under the fear of death, Hebrews 2:15. So Elijah was just a man with feelings like others. But here we read about Elijah, keeping in mind what we have here in James 5 and verse 17. And when you go back to 1 Kings 19, and there's Elijah, and he has fled for his life, and he sits down under a juniper tree, and he wishes he was dead. Remember what James said. Elijah was a man subject or under the feelings as we are. In other words, what had happened to Elijah? He had got down under his feelings. Talk about people often say they're a bit under the weather. Maybe not feeling too well. Well, here was Elijah, and he got under his feelings. His feelings overwhelmed him. And he got under those feelings. And in depression, people can't help how they feel. Those who suffer from depression, they can't help how they feel. They get under their feelings. and their feelings press upon them and press them down. You know how it is. Someone who's feeling depressed, and someone who just does not understand, will come and say, pull yourself together. Give yourself a bit of a shake. Pull yourself together. You'll be all right. Someone who says that has no idea what the person suffering depression is going through. Their feelings have gotten top of them, and they've got down under their feelings. That's what happened to Elijah. As we will see shortly, Elijah had feelings of defeat. As we'll see, Elijah felt it was no good. We'll see that, it's here. And those feelings got him down, and he got under those feelings, and he couldn't get above them. And as far as Elijah was concerned, the only way out was death. And there he sat under the juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. It's hard to take in, isn't it? But poor Elijah has just simply got under his feelings. His feelings got on top of him, and he became depressed. And the only answer that Elijah could see at that time was to ask the Lord that he might die. His desperation. I want you to notice his desolation. Notice what Elijah did and where he went to. Let's read the verse 3 again. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Notice his desolation. See what he did. He ran for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah. Notice, and left his servant there. Next verse. But he himself went a day's journey. He went himself. There's his desolation. He wanted simply to be alone. Even leaving his servant at Beersheba, he could not be comforted by anyone's company. His desolation, his feeling of desolation was such that he felt the company of his servant would not do any good. He just wanted to be left alone. And where did he go? He went a day's journey into the wilderness. Barren, bleak, desolate wilderness. His attitude was, I want to be alone. Just leave me alone. David once said, reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I look for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Psalm 69, verse 20. Only difference between David and Elijah. The difference between David and Elijah was that David looked for someone to comfort him, but Elijah didn't want anybody to comfort him. He just wanted to be left alone. And that's how individuals who suffer from depression, that's how they feel. They just want to be left alone. I've known of some. And they'll go into the bedroom and they'll be there for hours. And the rest of the family's downstairs, but they don't want to mix with the family. They'll go into the bedroom, shut the door. Just leave me alone. I remember when I became the minister of Newton Abbey. There was a man and his wife there, Christian couple. They used to go around mission halls. The husband would preach and the wife would sing. But then the husband was overcome with depression. Remember the first time I met him, he was in the hospital being treated for his depression. And I remember going in and sitting with him and talking to him. And then the nurse came. And she called him by name. Says, all right, let's go. We'll go for a walk. He says, no, I don't want to. I just want to sit here. He just wanted to sit there and just be left alone. And the nurse called him again by name and says, you know, come on, you need to go. You need to, we'll go for a walk. Trying to get him out of it. They went for a walk outside around the hospital. So I've seen it firsthand. And I've known it in the lives of others. And here's Elijah. And here's this classic picture of a depressed man. I just want to be left alone. You have him there in his desolation. And that's not a very nice place to be. No one likes to be alone, and yet whenever depression is on the person, because their feelings have come on top of them and they've got under their feelings, they just want to be left alone. We have his desperation. We have his desolation. And then we have his despair. His despair. We see here where those feelings that he had got under, where those feelings led him to absolute, abject despair. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. There's his despair. So far down was Elijah that he actually wanted the Lord to take away his life. He just felt he was no good. Look at the rest of the verse 4. He sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." What did he say? He says, "It is enough." In other words, he was saying to the Lord, "I've had enough." That's what he's saying. "I've had enough. I've had enough. Now, Lord, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. I'm no good." That's where his feelings had brought him to. "I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no good," is what he was saying. And here is something else, which again we find hard to understand. How a man like Elijah could wish for death to take him. But does this not show us how Elijah was overtaken, pressed down by his feelings of despair? Just despair. "I'm no good. I've had enough. I can't go on." It's really what he was saying. That's what he was telling the Lord. Not the only servant of the Lord who wished that the angel of death would come. Turn, please, to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Now we read in Numbers 11 the reference to Moses. Verse 14, Numbers 11, "I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me." Moses wasn't just feeling perhaps just as bad as Elijah, but you get the same sense. "I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me." Here's Moses, and he felt alone in his work, in his leading of the children of Israel. And verse 15, "And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." Just like Elijah, Elijah felt his wretchedness. And Elijah said, "I've had enough." He just got down under his feelings. And here's Moses. And he's in a similar situation. And feeling like Elijah, "I cannot bear this people alone. Take away my life. I cannot face my wretchedness." Poor Elijah. We have sympathy for him, don't we? And anyone who's suffering from depression, They need our sympathy. Moses felt that it would have been a favor to him if the Lord had taken away his life. And so often, those with depression see death as the only way out, where they feel that they can get some relief from their misery. But the Lord in grace would intervene in Elijah's life. The Lord kept Elijah alive. He wasn't going to slay Elijah. Elijah's work wasn't done. And he would bring Elijah out of the valley of despair and get him back to a mountain again. Isn't it good we have the God that we have is touched by the feelings of our infirmities? We looked at Elijah, the troubled prophet. We then notice Elijah, the touched prophet. We're told that while in the wilderness, verse 5, he lay and slept under a juniper tree. This again is so typical. How typical this is of those who suffer depression. They only want to sleep. And they will sleep for hours. Through the night and through the day. Because they don't want to face another day. They don't want to face those feelings that they've got down under. And they look upon sleep as a way of escape. It means while they're sleeping, well, they're not feeling this depression. And there's Elijah. And he lay down and slept. All the symptoms are there. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree. But Elijah was not alone. He thought he was alone. He wanted to be alone. But Elijah wasn't alone after all. Oh, he may have left his servant in Beersheba. He may have gone a day's journey into the wilderness. He may have looked all around him, north, south, east, and west, and never saw a soul. But he didn't look up. Because Elijah was not alone. And here we see the heavenly servant. We're told that while Elijah lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Verse 5. Poor, despairing Elijah may not have had men with him. He left a servant behind. But he was seen from heaven. Praise the Lord. An angel then came and ministered unto him and touched him. And here we are reminded that God's people do have their ministering angels. In Psalm 91, in verse 10, and there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He shall give his angels charge over thee. Well, here's one of those angels coming to the aid of Elijah. And the angel touched him. So even when we are going through a wilderness experience, even when we feel we are alone and all appears to be desolate all around us, we're not alone. That was something which Hagar experienced in her desolation and loneliness. Would you turn, please, to Genesis 16? Isn't it wonderful how the Word of God brings us comfort? We ever find ourselves in a similar position of Elijah, then we have the comforting words of Scripture. We know what took place in the house of Abraham and how Sarah cast Hagar out. We look at Genesis 16 and verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. She went into the wilderness, just like Elijah. Now, verse 7, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain and the way to Shur. So there's Hagar. She's had to flee from the house of Sarah. And she runs into the wilderness. And there in her desolation and loneliness, an angel visits her. Even though she had fled from Sarah into a wilderness, she acknowledged the Lord had his eye upon her all the time. All the time. Because you had to go down the chapter into verse 13. And we are told, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thy God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? And there's Hagar, and she acknowledges that while she's in the wilderness and she feels she's alone, she acknowledges, no, I'm not alone, because God sees me. Thy God seeth me. And notice the angel that appeared unto her. It was the Lord himself. Because the angel is called the name of the Lord that spake with me. The name of the Lord that spake with me, verse 13. And so we read in verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her, and the angel of the Lord spoke to her. And then in verse 13, we're given the identity of that angel of the Lord. It was the Lord himself. The angel of the Lord spake unto her. That was the Lord himself. And then Hagar says, thy God seest me. And just as God saw Hagar in the wilderness, the same God saw Elijah in the wilderness. And the angel that was sent to Hagar was the same angel that was sent to Elijah. Look at verse 7 of 1 Kings 19. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. So this, if we might use the term, this was no ordinary angel. This was the angel of the Lord. And that's the title that's given to Christ. He's the angel of the Lord. And isn't that what we need in such times of loneliness, desolation, despair, and depression? We need a touch from the angel of the Lord. And that's what those who know and love the Lord, who suffer from this affliction, need the angel of the Lord to come, need Christ to come. And he will come, because as Hagar said, "Thy God seest me." I want to leave it there, because there's so much more I want to deal with. But leave it there for this week, and pick it up again next week, Lord willing. But Elijah, such a classic example. Someone suffering depression. But the Lord was not going to allow Elijah to sit there under the juniper tree. The Lord was not going to slay Elijah. That was one prayer. The Lord was not going to answer for Elijah. Why? Because the Lord wanted to give Elijah another chance. He's the God of the second chance. And the Lord had a work for Elijah to do. I trust that perhaps if you know someone and they suffer from depression, that this will help in some way to understand. And if you ever suffer from depression yourself, I trust this helps you to understand as well. Elias was a man, subject to like passions as we are, subject or gets under the same feelings that we have. That's what happened to Elijah. He got under his feelings. He says, "I'm no good. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no good. And I can't go on." Well, the Lord saw to it that he did go on, and he gave him a second chance. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. O loving God and eternal Father, we thank thee for the word. Thy word indeed is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And here is something, Lord, a matter, a subject that's difficult to understand. And yet, Lord, thy word has illuminated, has thrown, cast light, shone light upon the subject. And, O Lord, we thank thee that when we are down in the valley, when we are in the wilderness, when we are in the slough of despond, we can say with Hagar, "Thy God seest me." When others do not see and others do not understand, the Lord sees and the Lord understands. Lord, write the word upon our hearts this evening and use it, Lord, to bring comfort and solace to our hearts, that perhaps we in turn may be able to bring comfort and solace to others. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Grant us traveling mercy. Be with us throughout this week. Heal all who are sick. And keep thy hand upon us in our going out and coming in. Be with Aaron and Ryan as they travel home tomorrow. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.